All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Pleased to have in studio co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop, Woody Lashin, on this nice now, apparently, Saturday, June 8th, 2013. It didn't look so good. It was looked like we were building an ark at one point, Woody. But we're doing all right now. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Anthony. Thanks. That's not what I expected this morning. Happy to see the sun.
And I'm sure the people down at Marion are happy to see the sun.
Oh, yeah.
Real quick, I know you were down there. People were concerned about the 11th hole. Can you kind of, do you remember that hole?
It goes, you know, you tee off. It's a short hole. Mm-hmm. You know, the guys could drive it, but there's a creek in the front, so I don't think you can see guys driving it. But
right.
It goes downhill. And the creek is right there, and they said that hole floods all the time.
Right.
You know, they actually have two holes on the other course as backup if 11 and 12 got flooded out and they couldn't use them.
Right.
Superintendent says that'll never happen, but right. USGA is being prepared. It's a hard hole for a short little hole because the green, I mean, he keeps it as hard as he can, so you just – ball bounces or spins off into the creek.
And he said it's naturally that hard because of the, over the years, the sediment that has built up because it floods out every year, basically.
Yeah, I think it floods out at least once a year.
Once a year, right.
Automatically. So they're kind of like, you know, for us, we'd be like having a heart attack, and that's the norm for them.
Exactly. Well, it's always a pleasure to have you in studio, and we'll be joined by Golf Digest senior editor Mike Stachura in a few minutes. We have a good show for you today. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have hopefully Mike Stachura from Golf Digest on the line. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015. 1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabile has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
All right, we're back. Thank you for joining On Par with Anthony Scorsia and Woody Lashin, co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop. Woody, what's going on in the shop these days? Give us a little Pete's Golf Shop update, other than a lot of fittings.
It's still really busy. I think we're still booked almost 2 weeks out in advance for fittings, so which is great. You know, I think we're finally starting to see people playing golf.
Yeah, right.
You know, part of the store we do is we do repairs.
Sure.
So when people aren't playing golf, there's no broken clubs coming in.
Yeah, that's true.
We don't like to see broken clubs come in, but right. You know, when more people playing golf, when you know, more broken clubs are coming in. And I'll tell you, it's very interesting. You know, yesterday was a rain out, obviously.
Right.
Most of the golf courses were closed.
Sure.
And, you know, for most in the golf business, yesterday was a day off.
Right.
Well, it wasn't no day off at Pete's Golf because every pro from Long Island came in the store yesterday to get their stuff worked on because they were closed.
Yeah, right.
I think we had the guys from we had three guys from Deepdale came on their own.
Right.
And
they met
there like, hey, Daryl's here, Jeff's here, what's going on? So it was a busy day.
It was a convention going on.
Well, the golf pros, you know, they live for that day that they, you know, it gets right, they don't like to rain out.
Right.
But
right.
They got it. Stuff to get done, and you know, work on their stuff is obviously paramount. They want to play their best golf.
Sure, I mean, and you know, people forget that the summer season is so busy for them. I mean, they're jamming. The rain out.
The only time they get off is when it rains out.
Exactly.
I mean, a lot of these guys won't take a day off, and if it rains out, that's a day off.
Sure, exactly. And so think of all the things of building up, all the honeydew list that's built up over that time. Forget about your golf game alone.
No, but your golf game is most important.
Of course. Speaking of most important, it's we have our guest on the line. It's Mike Stachura from Golf Digest, senior editor. How you doing, Mike?
Great, Anthony. Woody, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Mike, good to hear from you.
Great to hear from you guys. I enjoy guys talking about how Friday's an off day for golf pros, and you're working as hard as you possibly can.
Well, speaking of working hard, you've been working hard yourself. You're a little bit of a TV star now. Talk a little bit about all the stuff you're doing with Golf Digest. I mean, and on the Golf Channel.
Yeah, well, we did some stuff with NBC and the Golf Channel, and did mm-hmm. a show in the spring. And now my partner and I, Mike Johnson, from Golf World, are doing some equipment segments on Golf Channel's Morning Drive. So mm-hmm. you know, I'm in makeup a lot.
Did you say you're in makeup a lot, or you need a lot of makeup?
I need a lot of makeup, and it takes them a long time. So the trouble is when you're a writer, you like to take your time and think about things and rewrite 4 or 5 times. In TV, it's go.
Right.
We're done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's no crafting. It's just kind of like radio. You're on. The light's on. You're on.
No mistakes.
And we'll see.
We're permanent.
Right. And we'll see you in a couple of hours.
Exactly. Yeah. So go. And it's fun because I think Golf Channel has been eager to sort of expand their equipment portion of their knowledge base, and we're flattered that Golf Digest can contribute. I'm obviously biased, but I think Golf Digest has the best equipment team in the business, and we're eager to expand that knowledge and expand our audience a little bit. Hopefully, it benefits Golf Channel, and we really believe it benefits Golf Digest as well. And you know, let's face it, I think you look at the traffic on our website, and you look at just the general interest out there, in any golf venue, equipment is a prime topic, and I don't think you can ever answer enough questions because there are always more.
Yeah, absolutely. And you get to now and again visit your old pal Matt Ginella. How have you enjoyed his growth there?
Boy, I tell you what, I watch Matty a lot, I think knowing him before Golf Channel, mm-hmm. he certainly had a TV personality from the get-go. But I thought if you watched Golf Channel's Longest Day, his coverage of the of one of the sectionals in Florida, I thought was just full of tremendous stories, and his presence on there was like he'd been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah, it's funny you brought that up. I was wondering if, and I'm hoping to get him, I'm sure I'll have him on soon, if he's going to be, obviously they needed all hands on deck for a day like that. I was just wondering if he was going to be branching out in that regard to doing different things other than what he's doing right now, from fairways to runways to fairways and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, I think his enthusiasm is give me something to do and I'll do it. I do think, like equipment, they can never do too much on travel, because I think golfers are interested in, forgetting the main topics of the tours and that sort of thing. Golfers want to know what to play and where to play. And if you can show me pretty golf courses and explain to me what clubs are going to make a difference in my game, that's the knowledge that I want.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Mike.
I think it's I wish they would do more about it. I wish they would have an hour show once a week on equipment, and maybe that's something that they'll work toward down the road. But and I'm happy to be part of it. But like I said, I need a lot of time in makeup.
Well, Mike, if it was me there, let me tell you, they don't have enough makeup for me. So at least they can put you on there.
Woody and I both have faces for radio, so we're all set.
Well, I think you have voices and intelligence for radio, which is the highest praise I can offer.
Oh, there you go.
Intelligence, that's the first I've ever heard that one from me. Excellent. Hey, Mike, so I got a couple equipment questions for you. You know, obviously, I don't want to go over the whole anchor, non-anchor thing, but alternatives for anchoring. You know, different things that you're seeing that the manufacturers are trying to come up with for alternatives now that the rule's going to change in 2016.
Well, I really think manufacturers have jumped on this pretty quickly, as opposed to sort of, you know, kicking the sand and grumbling about the decision. We've got a great piece coming up in our July issue dealing with this very subject, the whole idea of counterbalancing, whether it's just as simple as the fitting you guys did for me with my putter and sticking some extra weight up in the grip and you know, essentially changing the balance point. I think that's, and maybe a little thicker grip, that's another option. But in terms of real products, you know, Odyssey's got this new tank, again, with the kind of heavier total weight of the system. So, you know, crudely, if you think about a sledgehammer and trying to, if you've got the yips and you try to have the yips with a sledgehammer, I mean, once you get that thing going, it's going, and you can't really open or close the face or move it offline. So that's kind of the idea. Now there's another element to it where you get that more weight in the grip and really have, you know, maybe instead of a putter that's tucked into your belly, you have a putter that's, you know, maybe got two, three inches beyond your grip, so it's almost like you're choking down on it. So you've got, like I said, the Odyssey tank is a putter like that. You've got TaylorMade's coming out with this whole new Spider line of putters where they've got
Daddy Long Legs or whatever it is.
Yeah, they got Daddy Long Legs, and they've got a Spider blade that Justin Rose has been using. I think he just went to a 38-inch version where, again, that you've got heavier weight in the head and this whole idea of counterbalancing it. So you got a 130-gram grip in that new TaylorMade putter with a, you know, it's kind of a standard head, maybe a hair heavier, but you've got other putters that are doing bizarre things. I mean, the Bobby Grace has a new putter that's got a 420-gram head, and the grip is 21 inches long and weighs 147 grams. Well, that, I mean, that's triple the weight of some grips. But again, if you, it's almost like you think about a kind of a barbell approach, right, where you got the weight on either end, and you've shifted that balance point closer to your hands, and maybe taking the sort of flippiness out of your stroke a little bit. Obviously, Matt Kuchar's had a lot of success with that Bettinardi putter that he's been using, where he tucks it up under the left forearm. Well, Bettinardi's actually introduced the Kuchar model number one putter, and you know, it's kind of a face balance blade thing, but again, it's a 400-gram head, and it's got 7 degrees of loft, and you know, you go down the line. Heavy putter's got one coming out. Cleveland, for the last 2-3 years, has this thing called the Almost Belly, which is, you know, again, it's got a heavier grip. Ping's got the adjustable grip on their Scottsdale TR answers, again, with the thing, I think it adjusts between 37 and 47 inches. So there are elements there where you're sticking a little bit more weight up in the grip, and you've essentially achieved some of the effects of an anchored putter, because you've got a heavier system and you've got a heavier head. So there are two things at work. You've got sort of more forgiveness in the head because it's got a higher moment of inertia, so it's going to be more stable. But the whole system has a heavier moment of inertia. So, again, once you get it moving, it's harder to change that sort of momentum of the club. And that's really what's happening with an anchored putter or a long putter. I mean, those things are much heavier and they're much more stable, and that's what you're trying to achieve. So I think there are some real alternatives. The key, and I can say this about anything in equipment, but the key is to get with your fitter.
Sure.
Absolutely. Well, as a fitter, Mike, I will tell you that, you know, the more options I have, the better. you know, when we fit you for your putter, we have obviously added some weight under the grip, and we've been doing that for, I don't know, 15 years. But you can only add so much weight to the head of the putter once it's manufactured. And now that we're getting these manufactured heads that are coming in, you know, 380, 400, 420, 450, it gives us a lot more options, and we're able to move the balance point around a little bit. It really makes a lot more options and a lot easier for us to fit and help people that have putting problems and get them putting better.
Well, exactly, and I think the beauty is anytime the USGA makes a rule or makes a decision or puts a limit, it inspires innovation in other directions or to that limit. And manufacturers are, you know, I don't think necessarily they're 10 steps ahead of the USGA, because it doesn't matter. You can be 10 steps ahead of the USGA. If the line in the sand is 10 steps behind, you're stuck. So I think they're inspired by the USGA to figure out ways how to innovate within the rules.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about that innovation and the idea of product cycles. But we're going to take a short break. We have Mike Stachura on the line from Golf, senior editor of Golf Digest, and Woody Lashin, co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop in studio. We're taking a short break. We'll be back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Terry Landscaping is an award-winning designing, building, landscape firm serving Long Island for over two decades. Located in Brightwaters, we are owner-operated and proud of the superb relationships we maintain with our customers. The services we provide will ensure that all phases of your project will be completed to your satisfaction. Contact us at 631-968-4882. That's 631-968-4882 to learn more about how we can transform your property into something of beauty and lasting value.
It's here at last, golf season. South Shore Golf in Oakdale presents Mega Demo Day on Monday, June 13th, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Timber Point Golf Course. You'll have the opportunity to hit new clubs for 2011. TaylorMade, Ping, Titleist, Cobra, Mizuno, Callaway, and Nike. Make sure you get down here for your chance to win a brand new TaylorMade R11 driver. Whether you play golf or you're just learning, how about getting fit for clubs by their professional and certified staff? Also, a PGA trade-in value for used clubs to be applied for new products, so bring those old clubs down. South Shore Golf also specializes in golf club repair, regripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf, 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east? How about a quick and easy stop for all your golf needs? Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
All right, folks, thank you for joining us. We're back on par with Anthony Scorsia in studio, co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop, Woody Lashin, and Golf Digest senior editor Mike Stachura. Mike, you're talking about that innovation that's sometimes is the that's, you know, I guess you could say the USGA has been the impetus for, the catalyst for. But let's talk about product cycles. Can they? It seems to me that I'm wondering, can product cycles at this rate really sustain themselves coming out with something every year?
Well, that's a great question. I think the manufacturers are sort of wrestling with it, and depending on the manufacturer, they're taking a different attitude to it. You know, you look at somebody like TaylorMade, you know, I think being in a position of strength allows them to decide to sort of leave a product in the marketplace for a year. If you look at like what they did last year with R11S, I think they kept it at that initial price almost for the entire year. Then you go to this year, you know, they obviously saw that because of the weather, people weren't buying as rapidly as they wanted to, so they have the flexibility to drop prices and try to drive consumers that way. So you know, there's sort of two takes. And then you look at other companies who don't necessarily have the same challenges in terms of having to meet incredible numbers, say like a TaylorMade. If you look at say Ping or Titleist, you look at their product cycles, they are unwavering pretty much in having 2 years for a set of irons, you know, sometimes 2 years for a driver, and again maintaining that price over that same time. So I think the challenge for most manufacturers is trying to sort of meet their expected goals. So one way is to introduce products a lot more frequently. Another way is to stick with the product that you have and promote it and try to sort of build momentum or be content that it's, you know, not selling more each month and just say, let's generate interest. Let's let the consumers who are actually using and have bought our product help sell the product to the other members of their foursome. So I think there's two challenges there. The other thing I see with innovation is manufacturers are saying, well, instead of trying to make a set of irons or a driver that we think is perfect for the entire universe of golfers, let's see if we can innovate with certain products that we think are going to fit this particular segment. I mean, you see that this spring and early summer with driving irons starting to pop up all over the place. I mean, I can tell you flat out, I think the market for driving irons is, you know, well less than 5% of the entire population of golfers. But generating a lot of buzz, you're going to see a ton of those in play next week at Marion. You're going to see a bunch of them in play at the British Open, and that's going to generate some buzz. And that's, again, it's a niche market in terms of innovating in that particular area. But I think that's one cool thing that's happening in terms of innovation is that they're innovating products for me, and then they're innovating products for my dad or my son or, you know, it's not like we all have to use the same product anymore.
You know, Mike, I think that's the best thing to come out of innovation personally, because the more options you have for somebody, the better you can help them play better golf. And I think it's under 5% easily that what needs a driving iron. I mean, I happen to use my four irons is that technology, but we don't sell too many of them. But when the player that comes in that needs that technology, it's a whole new world for them, because they you know, hybrid wasn't going to work for them, long iron wasn't going to work for them. They're struggling to try and find something, and we have now an option for them. And that just makes them enjoy the game more, and is what we're all about trying to do.
No, and I think, you know, I think the challenge is as a retailer. Now you're more specialized, so you can sort of deal with customers on an individual basis. You know, the big problem I see is for the large retailer who's trying to service everybody individually, having to carry everything in the universe and hoping that all of those things are going to sell enough so that he's sort of making money. And then you throw on top of it certainly things that we've seen in the marketplace this year, where you see products that 2 months ago were, you know, $400 drivers, and now they're $300 drivers. Well, they're still the same drivers that the retailer might have brought in at X price, and now he's got to figure out how to deal with the manufacturer who's sort of rolling back the price, or even worse, the club pro who's trying to sell equipment, and he sees the bigger retailer offering a $50 discount or $100 discount on a set of irons or whatever, and he's stuck trying to sell this set of irons at basically a full price. So it's I think more challenging for the individual retailers than it is for manufacturers, because manufacturers are just going to make a decision sort of based on the numbers.
But, Mike, that's a nightmare for me also. I'm curious, you're doing something with glove fitting today.
And yeah, we're going to be out at the Golf Galaxy in Milford, Connecticut. We're just going to do the idea of way back when was to do a research project to kind of get a sense of whether people actually have the right size glove. And, you know, we thought of different ways to do it. And obviously we have a relationship with the folks at Dick's Sporting Goods and Golf Galaxy. And they were kind enough to say, hey, why don't you set up shop here? And we're going to set up and have people who are coming to the store essentially talk about what size glove they wear. And then we'll find out if they were correct or incorrect. And I can tell you one thing, I'm highly confident that 99% of golfers at least put the glove on incorrectly. And that it's everybody pulls on the cuff to put on their glove. And that is, you ask any glove company, and they say that is the absolute worst way to put on a glove. So you got to work the fingers in first, you know, kind of pull on the palm and then close the Velcro tab, and you want kind of a quarter inch of the Velcro still showing. So it's one of those things that people don't think about it, and I tend to believe every piece of equipment you have, including ball markers, is vitally important, and if you get it wrong, it's going to affect you in some negative way. And so the more you can educate folks, that's kind of what we're trying to do. There's a little bit of hands-on education that we're doing at the Golf Galaxy in Milford today, but I think it's going to be a learning process for us too. And I can tell you this, the other thing people do, they don't change their glove enough.
Yes.
You know, they use one glove for the whole year, and that's not a good sign.
No, one for the whole year. Well, we learn something new every time you're on the show, Mike, and can't thank you enough. Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure, guys. Let's hope we dry out.
Great talking to you, Mike. Thanks.
Yep.
Take care. All right, that's Mike Stachura, the senior Golf Digest senior editor for equipment, actually, on the line there, and just fantastic stuff. We're going to take one more short break, and Woody and I will be back to wrap things up. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Pete's Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
ABC 123 Golf. ABC 123 Golf is a summer program developed by Mike Wade, PGA. ABC 123 Golf offers instruction, practice, and play activities designed to give juniors the necessary knowledge and experience to become lifelong golfers. Improving the playing ability of the junior golfer is our primary objective. In addition, ABC 123 Golf stresses the concept of total youth development throughout the program. Please visit abc123golf.net or call us at 516-385-9294. That's 516-385-9294.
All right, welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. This now sunny June 8th, 2013. In studio, we have co-owner of Pete's Golf Shop, Woody Lashin. Woody, just phenomenal stuff from Mike. I mean, we were just talking off air. It's amazing. The knowledge that he has. Obviously, he has a passion for equipment, as you do, but he's just amazing.
I think we could talk to him for like 3 or 4 hours and still not get enough.
No, I
mean,
agree.
He's just a wealth of knowledge when it comes to equipment. And, you know, people don't see what they go through with equipment to test and to do things and to bring that knowledge. You know, you know, like he said, you know, when he writes an article, right, he writes and rewrites and rewrites. I mean, you only read that finished article, but sure, if you saw the drafts and where it started from, it was, you know, 30 times bigger for this little, you know,
right,
thousand word article.
Sure. No, it's amazing. And they do a good job. You know, we had him on year one, if you remember.
Yep.
And, you know, they do a good job of really trying to separate themselves from, you know, the people who take, let's face it, there are people who take ads out in their magazine. They buy ad space, but they're also being rated, you know, objectively. And you know, Mike said at year one, they do a great job of separating themselves doing that. And I think people just, you know, being the magazine that it is, people are still willing to do it because it is what it is. They want to be part of that publication. And, you know, they work hard to do that, for that club, the hot list.
I think the hot list has made golf equipment better.
Yeah.
Because the manufacturers have to make better equipment or they're not going to get on the hot list.
Yep.
And it's really, I think it helps golfers, helps our listeners because they're going to get better equipment because of it.
Sure. And, you know, like you said, it's innovation. You know, you're pushing the envelope, pushing to make things better. That's, you know, that's what you want. You know, I remember there was a Callaway driver, right? And it was maybe one of the FT models that made that really loud
obnoxious sound, you know? And you know, that was a byproduct of innovation, and they realized, oh, we got to get rid of this. This is not, people aren't happy with it.
It worked really good. It didn't sound good.
Right.
And these are the things they have to, you know, they have to wrestle with, right? You're an engineer, you draw up on the paper and you say, this is going to work great, and wait a minute.
And surely it does, but if you don't get the sound right, you know.
Exactly.
So lots of things to consider. Folks, thank you very much for joining us on this this now great day turning out to be. Appreciate your support of the show. Thanks again to Golf Digest, Mike Stratora. Hopefully you'll get a chance to get out and play this weekend. We'll talk to you next week. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.